story to us. So kids are going to come up here. Come on right up here for a second. Right on up here. Right on up here. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. Don't be afraid. You're all right. So, Brenda, will you go grab her box for us? All right. So, today I want to look at a story. We're going to go to the book of Joshua. I want to look at a story, and the story is called the Battle of Jericho. Anybody heard of that one? Everybody know what that is? You haven't? Well, you're about to learn it just real quick. And you're going to help me learn it. You're going to help everybody else learn it too. So, the Bible tells us that one day God came to Joshua, who is over the people of Israel. And he tells them that he's going to take on this big city. And it's got big walls. You see the big wall? It's got a big wall. And he's given them a special way to take down that wall. So you guys are going to help me this morning to take down the wall. So God tells Joshua to get his priests, and this is the Ark of the Covenant. If you may not notice the Ark of the Covenant, it's wrapped in finely wrapped Christmas paper. But somebody want to carry the Ark of the Covenant for me? All right, you can. Also, we had our other priests who were to go around. Anybody want a flute? You guys get to play these for me. One more. All right. And then I need some soldiers. You guys soldiers? The rest of you guys are soldiers. So the Bible tells us. Thank you, Brianna. So the Bible tells us that God told Joshua to have all the soldiers come up. Come on, where's my soldiers at? Stand up here. Soldiers. Come on, right here. There you go. Right here. All right. Now, also, we need our priest with our trumpets. You got your trumpets? Blow that thing. Let me see how it sounds. Oh, come on, let's hear it a little louder. All right. And the Ark of the Covenant, which is the presence of God. So, he told Joshua to tell them to march around the city for 6 days, one time each day for 6 days. So, I want you guys, real quick, can you march around this? All right, so as you're marching, the soldiers are supposed to be quiet, but the priests, you're supposed to play your flutes. All right, so walk around here and play the flutes. Come on, follow the soldiers. Don't get left behind. And the Ark of the Covenant is to go with them. All right. You can walk around some more if you want to. We'll just imagine that we might have made six here in a minute. I don't know. Come on, a little louder. I can hear you guys. Oh, okay, that's better. All right, so come this way. All right, come on over here. So this time, after 6 days, you guys walked around six times. We just playing. All right. So 6 times you've walked around the wall. Now on the seventh day, the Bible tells us that you are to walk around the wall 7 times. But listen, we got a special thing on the last time that we do it. The Bible says the whole time that the soldiers are to be quiet. But after the seventh time, they're to make a loud shout. Let's practice real quick. I want you guys to help me out too. Can you guys shout on the count of three? Ready? One, two, three. Woo! Hey, he's got it. You want to try it one more time? Let's practice one more time. One, two, three. Woo! All right. So, you ready to start marching? Let's march. All right, march around the wall. Play your flutes. Come on, march around the wall. All right. That was 7 times. You guys are super fast. Did you know that? My goodness. So the Bible says that on the seventh time when they shout with a loud shout, that the walls will come crumbling down. So when I count to three, I want everybody to shout and these walls are going to come down. Y'all ready? Nobody's ready. Are y'all ready? Are you ready? All right. She ready? On the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Woo! Well, the whole, yep. That wall fell, literally. All right. So, that is the story of Jericho. That is how God let the children of Israel win their first battle. Isn't that pretty cool? Pretty weird? Pretty cool. All right. Throw the flutes back in here. You guys can grab a seat. Oh, what the? All right, so I preach to them, I get to preach to you now. So today, all week I've been battling with this lesson because It's so simple, and it's so much for kids, but God said, use the kids. Because he tells us he uses the small things in our lives to compel the big things. So he said, use the kids. And I got to think of, how in the world can I tie in the lesson of Jericho into an adult level conversation? But after doing some digging and some research, and I found a few different things from a few other pastors I want to try to put together this morning. And the title of the message is, Don't Stop Yet. Because there's a few things in this lesson that we want to look at this morning of reasons why people stop before they've got their promise. So this morning there may be somebody here who's been waiting on the promise, they've been praying for the promise, they've been looking and faithfully pursuing the promise, and they ain't seen it yet. And we want to talk about that some. So the verse that we have, I want to lead off with today, is in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36. You can stand if you want to. There you go. It says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. With our perseverance, there is a promise. Want you guys to realize that once you understand it. You guys can be seated. We're not going to try to take up a whole lot of your time today. We might have got out of here early today. He said I was long-winded. I don't believe that at all. So today I want you to focus on, don't stop short on your promise. Look at your neighbor and give them the title of this message. Say, don't stop yet. Don't stop yet. Because in our lives, it is very easy for us to stop when God has promised us something. It's easy for us to get excited and get wrapped up in the promise, but it's hard to stay and to persevere while the promise is still out there dangling in front of us, isn't it? That's the hard part in our lives. So Ephesians 1 says that we have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Did you know that? You have been blessed with everything in the heavenly realm. You've been blessed with peace. You've been blessed with joy. You've been blessed with happiness. All the fruits of the Spirit. Guess what? You've been blessed with those. Why don't I see them sometimes in my life? Where are they at? If I, as a child of God, have been blessed with them, where are they at? And so often we get mixed up in this promise that we forget about the pursuit of the promise. We forget about the perseverance that it takes to get to the promise that God has blessed us in heavenly places through Christ Jesus. So this morning there's three reasons that I want to look at. And they come out of the book of Joshua, chapter 6. And it is the story of the Battle of Jericho. Of course, there's more reasons in this that we could look at, but I only want to use three this morning. Three reasons that most people fall short, or they stop before they get their blessing. I want to look at these today. The first one is our perspective gets blocked. Our perspective just gets blocked from God's promise. I want to read a little bit of this verse here. It says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. I want you to stop just right real quick right there in that verse, because that's so powerful to me. Because if we read and we understand this story, these were a group of people who have been promised a land, but they didn't get to have it just yet. The Bible says for 40, they're traveling in the wilderness about 45 years now. And they haven't got to see that promised land that God has promised yet. And so often in our lives, our perspective of God's promise gets blocked. And the Bible tells us here that the walls and the gates of this city were securely barred up because of them. Think about that just a second. How many times in our lives does the devil put up walls in front of us when we're on our way to pursue God's blessings that He has already prepared for us? Sometimes we feel like it's our fault, but guess what? So many times in our lives it's Satan putting up walls and guarding it so closely because he knows he can't keep you from coming in. He knows he can't keep you from getting what God has already promised you. So he builds up walls to block your perspective. He'll build up things in your life so you can't see what's on the other side. And they had the walls securely blocked up. All the walls, all the doors. No one came out. No one came in. And then verse 2. He says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands.'" Let's just stop there real quick, because it just don't make no sense, does it? Because at first we look at the verse and we see that there is this enemy who has these walls in front of us. There's an enemy who has this wall in front of the children of Israel, which is Jericho, and it's securely barred up. But then we look in verse 2 and it says, "See, I've delivered it to you." Does that make sense to you guys? Because it makes sense to me. Because only our God can talk in the future about a battle that we haven't even fought yet. Only God is strong enough to do that in our lives. God is talking about a battle that they have not even won. And He says, "See, it's yours." How many times in our lives does God say, "See, this is yours. Pursue it." And we get confused because God said it's ours, but we don't have it in our possession yet. We get excited because God has promised us something, but where's it at? God's told us that we're going to see maybe a family member saved, and we've been praying for so many years, and guess what? We've not seen it happen yet. They've not even graced the church doors. How many times have we been there, church? Apparently nobody, but that's all right. We've been there in our lives, if you're honest with yourselves. We've been there. So he comes to, we get to the part of the story where God is starting to tell the children of Israel, starting to tell Joshua, that is, to tell the children of Israel how to take down these walls. And one thing that I was thinking about this lesson, and then thinking about the kids. Who remembers the song about Joshua fighting the battle of Jericho? Anybody remember that song? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho. And sometimes I think that we oversimplify this story so much with simple songs, simple reenactments of the problem that was at hand. And I think if Joshua could see us in this moment of singing the song, see us in the moment of walking around a piece of paper that tends to fall weirdly. But if Joshua could have seen those things, he would have been like, "Yo, hold up. It's not that simple. It's not as simple as you make it sound. You sing the song and the song's over in a few minutes. Or you do the skit and it's done in a matter of seconds." And it wasn't that simple. We got to understand that for 45 years, Joshua is waiting just to get the opportunity to fight a battle. He's waiting on the opportunity just to get to the point where he can go in and pursue the blessing that God has promised him. 45 years. How long have some of you guys waited for those blessings? How long have some of you guys prayed for that thing that God has promised you and you haven't seen it yet? If it's 45 years, yay to you, because you're on point with the story today. But for most of us, we don't make it that long because our perspective gets blocked. We get blocked up in seeing walls, and we don't know where the blessing is on the other side of it. A little history lesson for you. Jericho was not really that big of a city. Historians say that you could walk around it in about an hour. But the thing about Jericho was it had big walls, tall walls, securely boarded up. And if we look into ways that historians say was a way you could take down a walled city, God does not follow script. God does it in a weird way. He does it in such a way that doesn't make no sense at all. God, sometimes for us in our lives, when God calls us to do something, we got to do stuff that looks stupid. We got to do stuff that looks weird. The Bible tells us through the preaching of the Word that people will be compelled to become believers. It's for that foolishness of that. We don't find it foolish because we hear it every Sunday. But it is because each and every one of us are a preacher of the gospel. Each and every one of us are a giver of the word. And each and every one of us should be sharing God's story to compel someone else to become a believer in Christ. So you are preachers here this morning. But we get to the part of the story here where God's starting to tell him about the battle and how it's going to go down. It's going to go down in a weird way. We done seen it, we done read it, we know the end of the story. But let's pretend like we didn't. He's going to tell the men to march around the city. And one part that I thought was awesome, and that I got excited about when I read this story, he said, take the Ark of the Covenant with you. I don't know if you guys know what the Ark of the Covenant is. It's definitely not this. But I don't know if you know what the Ark of the Covenant is, but that was God's presence. God's presence dwelt within that Ark. And guys, when we got God with us and we're taking Him with us, and we got the presence of God in the midst of where we are going and what we are doing, we're going to win your battle. You're going to win your battle. You've got that promise when you take God with you. But how often do we forget to take God with us throughout those battles? How often do we forget the presence of God in our life to take on those things in our life that just wear us out? We try to do it on our own, and we fail. That's why Satan puts up walls, because he knows sometimes you're going to try to do it on your own, and you're not going to take the presence of God with you to take down that wall. So God does something weird, takes down this city in an odd way. It says, march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for how many days? 6 days. Just one time. March around the city once, 6 days. And he says, on the seventh day, march around 7 times. With every time going around, the priests are to blow the trumpets. On the seventh day, march around the city 7 times. And it said, when you hear a long blast of the trumpet, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in. And then you're going to take it. Not a single sword had to be thrown. Not a single cannonball had to be shot at the wall. Not a ladder had to be used to climb over top of it. But God says, shut up and walk. Just be quiet and walk. Play the instruments, but don't lift a voice. Walk. There's a reason for that. We'll share that here in a minute, I believe. So the next part I want to look at today, that sometimes our progress isn't always obvious. You know, wouldn't it be nice in this story if maybe every time that the children of Israel walked around the building, maybe a rock would fall out? Maybe the ground would start shaking. Maybe something like that would go on. Wouldn't that be nice? I don't know about you, but who likes to have mile markers on things when they got something going on? When they got a project going on, they like to see some progress. I mean, I love to see something I'm working on, especially when it's with your hands. You can start building something. You can see, oh, it's taking shape. Oh, it's looking like something. And it's super exciting when you get that done, and it's like, oh, look what went on. But sometimes in our lives, our progress isn't obvious. We do the things that God calls us to do, and we don't get to those mile markers. Or we don't see the rocks falling out of the wall. Or we don't see the things that would keep us motivated. Who's motivated by those things? I am. I'm motivated when I do something, or when I'm called to do something, and I see progress. I just want to be honest, and I want to be real with you guys. You don't know how many times me and Desiree's quit being your youth pastors. Because we've not seen progress sometimes the way we thought we should have seen it. And it's aggravating. It is. If I can just be real and honest with you today, it's hard when you feel God has placed something inside of you to share with someone else, and you're going to see great things happen from it. And when it's been prophesied on that great things are going to come from what you are doing, but you walk around for 6 years and you see no movement. And you see nothing. But I'm super excited when on the seventh year we see God making movement in our lives. We see God raising up children to preach the gospel. We see God taking people and putting them in spots to do other works, to lead music or to play in the band or to sing songs, or even some of them called to go to work as missionaries. That's exciting. It's those kind of things that we want to see that is progress. But guess what? Sometimes, six times around the wall, we don't see nothing. We don't see the blessings. The wall is huge. We can't see inside of it. We don't know what the promise is. We don't know what it looks like. God's give us a promise that we're going to take it, but what does it look like? I don't know, and I don't understand sometimes. And that's how I believe that the children of Israel were when they came to this wall, that Joshua said, there is a promise. We're going to go into the promised land. But here's a wall first that we've got to face. And you're going to battle it for 45 years and you're not going to see progress yet. But 6 days. So it said, Joshua the son of Nun calls the priests with him, says, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and 7 of the priests carrying the trumpets in front of them. We read that a while ago. Joshua's actually taking it, what God told him, taking it to the people and letting them hear this piece. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with the armed guards ahead of the Ark of the Covenant. It says, when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carried the trumpets before them. The Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed them. The armed guards marched around ahead of the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All the time the trumpets were sounded, but Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voice, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Everybody goes on count of 3, shout. 1, 2, 3, woo! All right, you guys will get this later in one of these days maybe, once you wake up. But so Joshua shares this news with them. And he tells them, all right, here's what God's told me to do. Let's go do it. And he tells the people to walk around this wall 6 times for 6 days and don't say a word. He tells them, shut up pretty much. Don't say nothing. I got a theory on why that he told them not to say nothing. Because 45 years earlier, they were to go into a promised land, and some spies went out, and when they came back in, there was only a couple who had good things to say about the land. But there was the other spies who opened their mouths, spoke negativity, disheartened the people, and they didn't go in and pursue the land that God had promised them 45 years earlier. Now they had to wait to get to this point. I believe that he told them to shut up, because sometimes in our lives, we just run our mouth too much, don't we? If we would just be quiet sometimes, the blessings that God has for us, we wouldn't screw it up. Has anybody ever done that? You got something coming to you and you keep talking and you keep running your mouth and you don't get what come to you because you was talking too much? I was that way in school. I talked a whole lot as a kid. And so many times I would have been getting to do something fun, but I had to sit out of recess because I couldn't keep my mouth shut. And that's why I believe that God told the children of Israel just to shut up. You don't say nothing. Let me handle it. You be quiet. Watch me work. In your process, you might not see progress, but when you're quiet and you rely on me, you're going to see the blessings that I have for you. That's what God's telling them. Sometimes that's what God needs to tell us sometimes. Just shut up and sit back and listen. Just watch me work. And that's what he tells his children here. He tells them, don't say a word. So Joshua gave them this calling. And he tells them to march around the city, don't say a word. He said, but when I tell you to shout, you're to shout. The one thing that I thought was interesting about reading this little part of the story is Joshua left out some information. He left out part of the information that God had given him. Because God told him, he says, all right, march around the wall for 6 days. Don't say nothing. On the 7th day, do it 7 times. And then, all on the 7th time, I want you to give a loud shout, a war cry. But Joshua didn't, I didn't read in here where he shared that information that he told them on the seventh day is when your victory is going to come. He tells them, he says, get this group of people together, this group of people together, take the Ark of the Covenant and walk around, play the trumpets, don't say a word until I tell you to say something. That's the information they were shared. That's what they were given. They had no road marker to know where their progress was at. It would be a little easier, I think, if Joshua would have went ahead and just said, hey, you know, 6 days we're going to do this, and on the seventh day we're going to do it seven times, and on the seventh time then we're going to shout, and the walls are going to come down. Wouldn't that have made a whole lot of sense to share that a little bit of information? Because we like to see progress, don't we? We like road markers. We like mile markers in what we're doing. And Joshua did not share that information with them. So let's dig into the story a little further. Let's say I'm a soldier marching for Joshua around these walls. And first day he tells us, go out and march. And we go out and march. And we march around the city. Bible says it takes about an hour. They've gone about an hour. And then they went back. Bible says they went back to camp. Let's just assume he went back home. Soldier comes in, takes all his stuff off, and the wife says, well, how was it today? Well, you know, it's all right. Listen, guys, it's cold when a wife asks you, how was it today? There's hidden meaning in that. Because she wants to talk to you about your day. That way you can take time out and listen to her about her day. So, men, when your wife asks you how your day was, be ready to listen to her, because she's wanting to share with you for a lot longer than it's going to take you to share with her what she was going through that day. So, men, life story, listen to your wives, all right? Life would be so much easier. Jimmy's looking at Bernice right now. Jim. So could you imagine being that soldier come in and says, well, how'd it go? Did you fight somebody today? Well, we kind of just walked around. What? You mean you just walked around the city? Yeah, I think Joshua's just trying to let us get a feel for the place. Maybe see where the weak points are at. Just to, you know, see what was going on. Oh, okay. Well, then, day two comes along. Takes his armor off. Lays it down. He's coming home. Well, how was your battle today? Well, you know, we kind of just walked around the city again. I don't know what's wrong with Joshua. He don't want to seem to do this thing, but we just walked around. And then day three comes. Man, could you see this getting a little frustrating? When you come home every day and your wife wants some juicy information and you got nothing for her? 6 days, we walk around and we see no progress. Because we like progress, don't we? We like to see that our blessings are coming. We like to see what we are working for is making a difference, don't we? I was thinking about this morning. I used to, in high school, which you can't tell it now, I used to run cross country. And in cross country, you're not very smart, because you get out in the woods and you run around and it's supposed to be 3.1 miles. And a lot of places you go, I mean, you're uphills, downhills. I mean, some you go through subdivisions and back around, and you really don't know where you're at and how much longer the race is going to last until sometimes you pop out of the woods and, ooh, there's the finish line. Exciting. But I really liked running the 5Ks that were in these festivals, like the Mushroom Festival. It ain't that I liked running, it's just that I liked to see the progress at the Mushroom Festival, because you would get to the mile marker, they'd have a line on the road saying, 1 mile. You go to the next mile marker, 2 miles. You knew where you was at. You knew how fast to run. You knew when to slow down. You knew, hey, I got a little bit of time. I can catch my breath here. You knew those things. That last third mile, you said, well, I'm going to slack up a little bit, because I know at the end there's going to be this joker coming up behind me who's going on a sprint, and I got to stay with him because everybody's at the line. They're shouting and they're cheering for you, and you don't want to look stupid by getting passed up by a guy who's been walking the whole time behind you. So those mile markers were super nice to know where you were at in your race. Anybody watch NASCAR? Nobody watch NASCAR. That's all right. There ain't nothing wrong with that. It's not the most exciting sport in the world, I'm saying. You're going a left turn. Oh, another left turn. Hey, well, another left turn. So it's not always super exciting. But the one good thing about it is if you look at the bottom of the screen while you're watching it, it has lap number blank of lap number blank. They know when it is time. They know when the last lap is. And the cool thing about NASCAR is when you get to the last lap, what do they wave? Well, on the last lap, the lap before the very end one, they got a white flag. They wave a white flag. So you know, this is my last lap. This is when I give it my all. This is where I push because the victory is ready to come. But so many times we don't get to see those things. We don't get to see that progress. And before our white flag can be waved, that is our last lap, we throw our white flag and surrender. Have you ever looked at it that way? There's so many times in our lives that we're real close to getting to where God wants us to be, but we throw our hands up and we walk off. How bad would I have felt on year number 6 if I'd quit being your youth pastor and I'd have walked out? And year 7, somebody came in and boom, the youth group exploded. And now you've got anywhere from 25 to 50 kids on a Wednesday night in youth group. And children's church, guys, I'm sorry to say, but when children's church leaves here on Sunday mornings, this place looks empty. That's exciting to me. It's not because of nothing I did, granted, but I believe that God has let me and Desiree persevere, and we didn't throw our flag in at that moment in time. Because even though we couldn't see the progress, even though we couldn't see where what lap we were on, which day we were marching around the city, even though we didn't know those things, we still had a promise from God to see great things happening. And guys, I'm super excited to see these kids getting up and doing things. Some of them didn't, but hey, they get shy. It's all right. But the last thing I don't want to look at, if you guys want to start coming on up to the music, the last thing we'll look at, that the process in achieving our blessing, it's open-ended. Meaning, a lot of times we don't really see the beginning sometimes, and sometimes the end isn't very clear. Sometimes we don't see what's going on. Because it says, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak, marched around the city 7 times in the same manner as they did the other 6 days. But on this time, on that seventh time, the seventh time around when the priest sounded the blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord your God has given you this city." So often we don't know where we're at in our progress. But it's exciting when on that last day we do something a little bit different than we've done the day before. You guys, I believe that there is something awesome about doing different things within the church, within the body of Christ, whatever you want to call it, within our spiritual life. Because the devil gets so confused. He don't know what's going on. I love it when we come to church and the agenda changes because I don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on. Well, the devil sure don't know what's going on. But God's got something planned. And on the seventh day, they done something different than what they done the other 6 days. They walked around it 7 times. Something I failed to mention a while ago. 6 is always, in the Bible, the number of man. Did you know that? 6 is the number of man. So when we do things only to the 6th, when we only make it to the 6th day, that's on us. That's under our power. But on the 7th day in this story, 7 is a number of completion. That's a God number. So 7 days he walked 7 times waiting on God to do what only God could do, because they couldn't tear those walls down by just marching around there and blowing some trumpets on their own. It took 6 times to doing things within themselves to get to the part where God was doing a work within them. That on the way on the 7th day, that's my day, God says. This is a day I'm going to do something. You've been doing it in your own strength for 6 days. You've been doing it your own way for 6 days. Yes, you've been following my guidance. But sometimes in our lives, God gives us guidance, and we got to make the step. We got to walk those six laps. We got to walk those miles around the city. Because sometimes it's not about the blessing we receive from God, but it's about the work that God is doing in us while we're receiving those blessings. God will do something with that time that we spend with Him, walking it with our own effort towards a blessing that God is before us, because He's doing something inside of you. That way, when you get to day 7, you've not done this on your own. If they would have walked around the city and marched and pieces of the wall come falling out, like I mentioned a while ago, I believe they would have thought they might have been doing something on their own. Well, it's the vibration of my feet, which was making the wall get weak and it was crumbling down. And don't people do that? Well, you know, doctors will try to rule things out. Well, it's because I gave you this medication. And well, it's not because of your faith. It was because of this or it's because of that. Thank God for doctors. But sometimes there's only things that God can do. Only things that God can heal. Yes, we go through the process and we work in those 6 days as man, but God has got something bigger planned for us on day 7. So as these guys play and sing, I want to ask you today, who is here that is coming up short on God's blessings? God may be here talking to you saying, hey, you're on lap number 6. This is day number 6. You've been walking it out. You've been doing what I've told you to do. You've been going the direction that I've called you to go. But you ain't seen me yet. You haven't seen my blessings. The wall is big and you can't see inside. But day 7 is coming. Number 7 is on its way. And that's the God's blessing day right there. So today as they play and sing, the altars are open. Maybe you're here and you're waiting on those blessings. Maybe you're here and you're waiting on God to do something in your life. Maybe something that He's promised. Or maybe you're here and you just need strength to carry on. Altars are open this morning. Everybody come pray. Take a minute to ask God to help you to persevere in His blessings.